Welcome, everybody. Trevor, you made it, buddy. Good job. Awesome. Loving it. Trevor, you're from Kitchener? Can you unmute yourself there, buddy?
Yes, I am.
There you are. Awesome. I was originally from Cambridge, man.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then I moved out to New Brunswick. Yeah, I was in Cambridge, and then we moved to Brantford. And originally, like my family, we moved. We were living most of my life in Caledonia.
Okay, yeah. I'm looking to move to Newfoundland.
Oh no way. What's
Yeah.
in Newfoundland?
Get away from, as far away from Ontario as possible.
It's crazy how many people are like flocking over here. Usually it's just the price, right?
Yeah,
But
no, it's not
even
price. It's a
it's
lifestyle.
yeah, I know. Yeah. For us, it was at the time, it was purely the market, man. But now I'm actually kind of glad that, especially with the last, 4 years and what's happening with Canada and stuff, me and Sarah were just talking about it. How much it just changes things. And yeah, we're kind of glad we're out here because of that. So
Cool.
welcome
Where
in though.
are you in New Brunswick?
I'm in New Brunswick. Yeah, Moncton.
Moncton.
Who else is here? I'm seeing a lot of people off camera. Guys, show your pretty faces. Let me see who's here. It might be a smaller crowd because obviously a lot of the coaches, they are still on the retreat. I was not so fortunate to be able to stay. I have a house with a bunch of young ones that my wife would have killed me if I left her alone with them to watch for a full another week while I was enjoying my time in Costa Rica. She would have probably butchered me. I would have Matt can probably attest to that. You can't leave the wife alone with them for too long. Just gonna wait another couple minutes, guys, just for some people to kind of siphon in here. Matt, how's it going, brother?
It's going well, man. It's going well.
Going
Just getting some steps in. Yeah, like you said, I think it'll be a smaller crowd on this weekly community call just because most of the clients that attended are probably still trying to recover from the beating that they took in Costa Rica on our annual trip. And then some of the coaches are still there doing the second part with just Ben.
Yeah, it's cool though. This is one of the things I wanted to talk about. So I'm pretty excited about it. I came into this call. Usually I do some prep and stuff. And today I kind of wanted to just talk about what the insights were from the camp. But obviously, first off, I wanted to kind of just wait for people to come in. Bum, 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 bum. Obviously, Trevor's new. Is there anybody else new? Is this the first meeting? First call? Anybody? Raise your hand, come off camera, say me.
Should
Anybody
be
else?
Mornay, John, and Trevor.
That'll be me too.
You as well, David?
Ah, yeah.
Who's your coach, David?
Michael.
Michael. Oh, you're gonna love him. Michael's great.
He has patience. I'll
He
give him.
is so patient. He is such a nice guy that he makes us look like Clint Eastwood.
Like my before training with him. I mean, I follow MyFoot in the past, but all my friends, they've been either athletes, power athletes, or in the army. So tempo is not my thing. I don't know how he does it, but he tells me, like, David, slow down. Yes, that's good. Just slow down. It's obvious he's a parent. He doesn't get tired of repeating stuff over and over again.
You're among company though, David. Oh, it's something we hear often from clients in the beginning. It's change, right? It's a big change from what they're used to. So yeah, it's just embrace it, man. The next thing you'll find that you say that's again not uncommon for a lot of people who've been in the program for the first time is that they're thankful that they listened and they're thankful that they did the tempo because it gets rid of pain. It makes them confident in their movement, makes exercise more enjoyable. Because again, you get to know that you have confidence in the motion and you can continue pain-free, which is phenomenal. Because that's what we're all doing this for, right? I think a lot of the guys on this call, we're here not because we care about putting up the biggest weights in the room, but we want to be healthy for our families, move around, limber, move without pain. And then obviously the results always follow, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Warren, I heard that you were new as well.
Yes, I am. Sorry, I'm just eating real quick, so I'll be on shortly with the
No,
camera.
it's okay, man. No worries. Who's your coach?
Andrew.
Andrew. Oh, Andrew's the man. He's the man. We were talking about that. Yeah, we love Andrew. I don't know where he is. That's not Andrew. Andrew isn't the Andrew phone. I don't think it is. Usually he says code's Andrew.
Me see
yeah,
what's
it's me,
going.
Steve.
Oh, it
I'm
is
about
you.
to
There
switch
you
over.
go.
Yeah, brother. I'm about to switch over on my laptop right now.
Oh, okay. Oh, I didn't see that math. Thanks. Yeah, guys. So one of the things I was hoping to talk about was just obviously some insights from the camp. So we have a smaller group this week, like me and Matt were saying, probably because a lot of the coaches were still at the retreat. It was a great time. It was an awesome time. I was blessed to be able to go there and meet some of my clients that I haven't met in person yet, and then see the camaraderie amongst them and the other coaches and just with themselves. It was such a cool time. The cool thing about it, I was actually just telling my one-on-one, because I have a girl that I train one-on-one here. And I was talking to her about how one of the coolest experiences is just like seeing just so many different people from different walks in life, different places in life. And everybody is doing their best, man. Like it just doing absolutely what they can in the moment, just being like, I'm not gonna hold myself to any standards. Everybody's walking from a different point, right? And just what can we do right now, and how that looks for everybody. And very literally too, right? Because like you're in Costa Rica, so like you're literally seeing different people from different places in life, just enjoying it from a completely different standpoint, which is super, super interesting for me, because all I'm seeing is like just the pressure just drop from a one-on-one point of view. Because we all, when we're in our own worlds, I think anybody can agree that, you know, and I might reach out to guys like Matthew for this, because like, you know, you're a high performer, not only in the gym but out, but you hold yourself to a high standard because it's almost like you only have yourself to measure against, right? And sometimes like you forget that the world is so much bigger, and you see these people and you're like, wow, like they're all just doing their thing. We're all just trying with what we have handed to us. So it's a really cool thing. But yeah, Andrew, are you on yet, bud? I would love to hear just I'd love to hear you introduce Morn and anything like that, and talk about any client wins before I kind of go off out.
Yeah. So I definitely overshot Christmas decorations outside. That's why I was a couple minutes late to the call. But that's also why I look like I got in a bar fight probably. But yeah,
If you want.
so Morn and I, you know, yeah, just started. Haven't fully officially met, so I'm fired up about that. Seeing Richard, which is awesome. Dom, great to see you, brother. Brian, typically he's also working sometimes, so that's why he's off camera. And then another client, who else is doing? Who have I heard from today? Seth Henson out of Oregon, newer guy, roughly a month, and just saying HRV is in a better spot, fat loss is happening, legs are feeling stronger, so it's always good when, like, you know, first month and kind of get those messages. So he's just a guy that if I set it for him, he's going to do it. And it's great when that happens, right? So, but things are good. Mots, I see you, brother.
That's awesome, man. Who else is of mine here? Jody, I know that Jody was at the camp. I'd love to hear him kind of speak up about his impressions in a little bit. I'll call on you later, brother. Did anybody else on the call right now? Anybody have any exciting things to share, you know, their own successes this past week? No? Well, as always, guys, if during the call you have any interjections, just take yourself off mute, please. If you know me and how I run these things, whenever I get the honor of running the call, I always want it to be as interactive as possible. I don't want people to sit there just want to kind of watching, and you know, I want people to participate and have their share. Because I find, I was actually just again talking about this with another client today on a client call. I was saying like I would love to try to master the integration of like knowing that clients and how clients can express what they need to a coach, because I think that that's a missing gap that we can all get better at. Because if we can teach, or if we can, or if clients rather can feel that they know what they're missing, then I think that it'll take their results to the next level. But unfortunately, we don't know what we don't know, right? So it's always gonna be something tricky. But hopefully some things that I can share today from the retreat can help. So some cool things from the retreat, guys. From you guys that don't know, it was the Muscle Intelligence 2023 Costa Rica retreat, which is really cool. Select a few clients. It was definitely it was two parts. It was definitely a great experience that I totally encourage all of you to try get in on next year. You won't regret it. Not a single person did. Every single person had the I couldn't even say most amazing, because every single person was blown away with not only their results, but what they were expected to have delivered upon. And I'm saying that even lightly, like you should have seen it. Like just people were crazy over what they got from this past weekend, you know, cause I was there. When did I arrive? Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Yeah. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Then I flew up Monday and just solid 3 days of training, guys. It was two double days, started with breath work, did some mobility. And when I say mobility, I don't mean stretching. I mean, like getting your body actively into positions and learning how to contract muscles and learning how to hold yourself and feeling end ranges. And it was really cool. And seeing the effect of that on people's training after. So typically how the days were run was that we got the clients to do something more neurologically activating. So on like day one, for example, we did something neurologically activating for the hips. And then we moved into some squats. And then that was actually day two, sorry. And then later on, we did the more exciting, more hypertrophy inducing leg day, right? And then the intention was if we do it like that, then we can actually get people to do double the work without being too, you know, catabolizing, let's say, you know, something that would be too much for them. So one of the cool things that I found from that alone is obviously people, there's a question that always going around. It was like, how do you know if you're overtraining, right? So every single person there did double days. Every single person worked hard. They broke records. They pushed harder than they thought they would. And when I say push harder than they thought they would, not by a little bit. I'm talking about guys walked in with did weights that they probably only could do like 4 to 8 reps of. And they all were hitting sets of 15 to 20. And it was crazy. I had one guy and you guys ever done like a chest supported T-bar row? My client Vamshi, I hope he sees his call because I've been calling him out all weekend about this. He was doing the chest supported T-bar row. He was on rep 4. And on rep 4, he starts shaking his head no. And he's like, no, no. And I'm like, I'm feeling the vibrations through the metal that he wasn't even using me yet, right? You can feel it. I'm like, you're alone on this. And keep going. So he ends up making, I think, 8 before I even had to touch the metal. And then he's like, and you can see the resistance in his face alone. And I'm like, okay, the set's starting now. So I start spotting him through it. And then he just gets more resistance. But I'm like, this is you. You're still taking it from me. All we're doing as coaches is we're spotting to keep the rep tempo the same so the client can squeeze through. We're not going to make you stall. We're going to make you just squeeze through it, right? And he ends up making 15 reps with the weight that he was saying no with at rep 4. Like, think about that. So this guy, he's going to go through his next year and he's going to blow up. Like, that's going to be 100% true. Ben often talks on these calls about finding like a fifth gear, right? Like some people lack it. Vamshi had it. He had the fifth gear, but he didn't understand what it felt like. And I think maybe it was just being around the guys. There's obviously like a coach experience too. When you're on your coach, you're on the guys, you're around this environment, like you have like all these different hormones and feelings and like just this euphoria running through you that maybe you just feel like you can give more than you ever gotten before. And yeah, that plays into it. But same time, it was his body doing it, right? And he cracked records that he never even thought about. And that wasn't uncommon with every single guy. Like I hope if every single person on this call, if you ever get the invite or if it comes out on YouTube, Matt, you might know more than I am. I don't know where Ben releases content, but the content from this weekend, you gotta watch it. Some of them, excuse me, epic. We had a couple people just screaming. We had one guy when I turned to him, I was like, I don't know who hurt you, man, but like somebody hurt you and we got to get to the bottom of this. But this weekend, we're going to utilize it because it's going to get you some results. But he was just like, we were doing some lactic training on the, no, sorry, it was our mass test on the fan bike. In the last 20 seconds, this man just starts screaming. He's like, ah, he's just pulling on the fan bike. The whole gym stopped and looked and was like, what is going on with this guy? But he was killing it. And every single person was on their side, just cheering this man on. It was such a cool thing to be part of. So the next thing that happened, you know, as you can imagine, there's a lot of performance going on. People are pushing records. Is people were asking us, well, what do we do when you guys are gone? Right? Like, how do we do that without you there? Because they all obviously realized they had more to give. That was the biggest thing we heard. But then the next question is, well, how do we do that without you guys there? So it's really interesting, right? I've had this thought pretty much since I started working in the online world, which is that I don't think anybody's ever asking you to give 100% every day. What we're asking you to give is what you have. And if that's 30%, then you give 30%. But within that, there are some objective kind of procedures or some different techniques that you can execute upon that might help you get more results, right? So those of you who are new to the system and new to the call, you might not know this yet. Maybe some who are using TrueCoach still don't know it, but there's a section in TrueCoach that if you're using like, similar exercises or plans, there's a notes section underneath, like let's say it's back squat, and you can type in your weights and your reps. And then next week, when you hit back squats again, you can press, I think it's recall last week or recall results. And it brings in the last week's records, right? So what I'm getting at is tracking your weights. Sounds like a simple concept. The reason I'm bringing it up is because this goes back with the first question we got about people after they were breaking the records. Like, how do we do this with a coach? Well, I fundamentally believe it's actually more about progression than it is about, let's say, aggression. And that didn't mean to be so perfectly put together. I don't want aggression all the time because I don't want you guys to be savages every single day. It's about making sure that you're showing up and doing what you can, but also forcing adaptation. And if you use TrueCoach, the software has that built in. So what you can do is every single week, you just go in there, you say back squat, let's just say you hit 100 pounds and it's sets of eight. Well, then you put down set one, 100 pounds, set two, 100 pounds, et cetera. And then next week, you're progressing. What do you do? If you feel like you can't do anything more, you know what? You can grab a 2 pound plate and put it on there. And then it'll say 102 pounds, right? And if you do that every single week, there you go, exercise history, you got it. And if you do that every single week, you will increase. People have actually told me they think that 2 pound weights are stupid. So you exercise the same plan relatively every single week, right? 52 weeks, 2 pounds a week. Is anybody going to argue that if you increased your weights 50, yeah, sorry, 100 pounds a year, that that's not progress? That's obviously it's progress, right? It's just that people don't think about it. But if you literally increased your weights 2 pounds every single week, then that's what you can do. So that's kind of a cool progress. It's also called a cool problem because if that comes across to us coaches, then what we can do is be like, crap, this guy's progressing maybe too fast because, on a, something like a curl, it's probably not possible that you can increase that fast, like 2 pounds every single week, maybe for a couple of weeks. But then what it's going to give us is a problem to solve. And we're really good at that. We can bring up different programming solutions, different techniques. We can give you different things, different exercises with different resistance profiles to try to challenge the muscles in different ways so you can utilize less weight. Like there's a lot of things that we can give you to still force that progression without necessarily having to increase one weight. But the original point being that when we're looking at things like that intensity and accessing that fifth gear, so to speak, and how do we do that without coaches or without the added, motivation of a room of guys just screaming at you, the camaraderie, then I'm going to say the simple answer would be just make sure that you're progressing things every single week. Because if you do, then you'll be there eventually anyways. But when you don't and you get lax, then if nothing changes, nothing changes, right? Andrew, you got anything to add to that, buddy?
The whole time you're talking, man, I always like, again, when you say being in person, obviously the energy in the room and everything else, and the reality is for all of us, like I talk about this with Richard quite often, is it's like, you know what you do for work, you know you got to roll with the punches, like the stage is set, like it is what it is, and you just got to figure it out, right? So another client, I'm pretty sure he wouldn't care if I said his name. I won't say his name just in case, but kind of pretty routinely, every so often, maybe once every 2 months or so, he has to go down for a couple of weeks and help his parents just with like health stuff and stuff like that. And it throws him off his game and kind of loses momentum. And so we kind of had that conversation this week, and I was just kind of like being aware of it and like being in the moment. And sometimes, you know, you're surrounded by family and responsibilities, and rightfully so. Like you could justify dropping everything as a father and whatever else. And at the end of the day, we still need to figure out systems and have things in place to be able to be efficient with your training. Because some of us may have 90 minutes to go in and train, and some of us might have 45 minutes. And someone during that 45 minutes might train quite a bit harder than the person that trains for 90 minutes, or vice versa, right? So it's like, again, it's why you guys all have coaches. It's why coaches have coaches. So you have a second set of eyes on you. And again, the name of the game is progress. So I think being it like it's a self-awareness is a superpower, to have that skill and be able to objectively just be able to pause, take a look at what you're good at, take a look at what you're poor at or what you're mediocre at, and what are the low-hanging fruit that you need to improve. Because again, it's I know I kind of went off on a little bit of a rant there. I didn't specifically answer your question, Steve, but yeah, so
Oh, dude, that's good.
but
It's, I love it.
yeah, like some people, like you see some people on online or on Instagram, and it's like the lone wolf mentality where they're covered in sweat by themselves, or someone kind of like you, Steve. You're pretty good at it. But
The garage, negative 20, somehow
yeah.
sweating icicles.
Yeah. But I mean, I'll even call myself out. Like I'm capable, and I'll go in and I'll get my workouts in the garage. But I definitely, like, I come from team sports, and it's like I thrive having somebody in front of me to either stay in front of or beat and that type of thing, right? So I'm aware of it. So knowing that, I just have to plan accordingly. So.
Awesome. Hey, David, you got a question about?
Yeah, I was just gonna say about that. So even though, yeah, I need to improve my tempo. So what I would think about is that there's this saying, I don't fully remember it, but it's like, you know, like when things go down, you always go down to the level of your training. So you need to make sure that if today's not the day and you couldn't like do like higher output, higher weight or whatever. I mean, this is not life or death, so it's fine because you try to hit it hard, give it your best. And it reminds me always like 10 years ago or so. So I used to train a lot in track and field. Still have lots of athlete friends in there. And it amazed me that we had all these older guys, military, they went to Vietnam and all that. We would sometimes go for a run as a challenge. So they were actually talking to us. And I mean talking, like you and me right now. Meanwhile, I was keeping up the pace, but I was gasping for air and barely blurting out words. And they told me just that, and it stick to me. Like, it doesn't matter what your goal is. It doesn't matter, like, if you're in, I mean, you got 4 hours of sleep or didn't have your meal because for whatever reason, just hit it hard. Half of the time, if you get your mindset in, it will work through. You know, it will just work.
What events did you do, David?
So I was mainly really runner. And besides that, I was also in martial arts and in swimming teams. But most of my friends, they were always in baseball, and I love to train with them because they have all like this crazy explosiveness. Like when you start, like nothing, at least in my opinion, right? Like nothing gives you this huge boost from the start than training with baseball players. So long they warm up because if they didn't warm up, they will pay the price. But the training was awesome.
Love it, man. I recently, not recently, 3 to 5 years ago, when I really started to understand skill acquisition, that gave me a completely different lens on how to look at training. Because I'll speak for myself, but because I don't want to generalize for everybody. But typically, you're like 13 to 15 years old. You only care about how big you can get your chest and arms, and how heavy you can lift. And quite honestly, like, that could be the name of the game for forever, quite honestly, not just 13 to 15. Like, you know, we want to keep the fountain of youth. But so it's like, get as strong as you can, get as big as you can. But when I started to really understand, again, it's like the stuff that we talk about all the time, set up, stabilize, initiate the skill of each individual movement. But like, legitimately, same thing what Steve was talking about, exercise history. Looking at each individual exercise, seeing what you do really well, what you can naturally pick up a lot of weight with and move very efficiently. Like, those are things to keep in your toolkit, and then pay attention to the stuff that you're not so good at and start to piece that together, right? So, but I took a course. Again, at this point, I don't remember when it was, but talking through skill acquisition and the three phases of cognitive, associative, and autonomous. Steve, are you familiar with this?
Is that Kevin's question?
Yep. Yeah. And yeah, again, like it gave me a different perspective on things. So one of my little ones just walked in, but yeah, like the simplest thing of again, you take one exercise and how to progress it or progress like the dynamics of it. But I kind of relate it to a strict press, to a push jerk, progressing in how dynamic, change of direction, speed. Like we should all just start with strict strength, show that you can control the movement, and then you progress, right? And then when that stuff bleeds into sports, that's a whole different conversation on each individual sport, but it's fun to talk about.
Oh, dude, it's so cool. It's a little off topic, but like just to dive into it for a second, even how it reflects in programming, super cool conversation, man. Because like I actually have a client right now where the development of skill acquisition, how it's reflected in his programming, and how we've utilized this to get a guy who has just home gym equipment, and to be honest with you, not even that much. Just like not bad. He has a good setup, don't get me wrong. But when he sees this call, he'll know what I'm talking about. But it's nothing crazy, meaning like anybody who had this would be like, it's a good setup, but maybe some people who also have this think they don't have enough, right? Meaning they might use it as an excuse to say, oh, I would get better results if I was at a gym. Well, if you see this guy's physique, you'd be like, oh God, how did he do that? Because he looks phenomenal. He looks like a Greek god. And so he'll laugh when he hears that. But what we did is we actually had a call today and we were talking about it. And the first thought with him was about learning how to control center of mass. That was his first overall skill. And then it was joint initiation, length and ranges of motion, and trying to get him how to really, really get specific with how to control certain joints and positions so he could get specific adaptations. So as an example, a Bulgarian split squat. Some people feel it in their glutes, some people feel it in the quads, some people feel it in their lower back, right? But if you do it right, then I shouldn't even say right. If you do it specifically, you will have an intent on which one of those you're trying to feel it. You shouldn't feel it randomly in one spot. And that was the next thing. And then we went from that into a front squat, because that's like something I can build upon with this guy so he can get more and more results. And then once he mastered the front squat, it moved from skill acquisition to output. And then now we're using the front squat as a driver of hypertrophy. And then since that started happening, I started bringing in the back squat as the new skill acquisition tool. Now his hypertrophy motion is over there as a front squat. And that used to be his skill acquisition. So it's like programming wise, it's been the coolest thing from him just to kind of trust the process so much that I could do this with him, because he's moving better. He's strong than he's ever been. He has no pain, whereas he actually had some knee pain when he first started with us. And he's jacked. He's put on like 10 solid pounds of lean muscle. And when I say lean muscle, this guy is cut, and he's way more cut than he was before. It's the coolest thing in the world, right? But sorry, it was David. You said something also really cool. Go ahead. Sorry. Before
Steve, I was just going to say, Matt, could you explain a little bit deeper? Because I feel like everyone will benefit from understanding the thought process of what you said, even just with the example of skill acquisition turning into an output exercise for the front squat.
Yeah, for sure. So guys, when we're talking about like skill acquisition versus like output, we're talking about like, if you look at a compound motion, especially compound motion, not that there's not skill in a bicep curl, there is, but in a squat, obviously there's a lot more because it's multi-joint, right? So there's a lot of motions, a lot of muscle, a lot of muscles, a lot of movements, positions, you're controlling your center of mass. There's a lot of things going on. A lot of joints are doing a lot of things, right? So it requires the constant stability of certain joints, and it has to do with you moving and expressing mobility on the joints. And so we look at these motions more about expression of strength rather than being strong. So often when somebody is like weak in a back squat or in a bench press, they're usually not weak. It's just, there's a kink. And that's what Andrew was saying earlier about how like there's a low hanging fruit and somebody just might not have the eyes to see it, but you bring it to us as coaches. You're like, don't, oh, that's what it is. Like your thoracic spine's all jumped up. That's why you can't bench press. And it's like, oh, I thought it was just because I'm a bad bench presser. It's like, well, no, you didn't come out of your mother with a medal saying this is a bad bench presser. Congratulations. It's like, no, like you just have a jumped up thoracic spine. Same thing with somebody who's squatting. Somebody who's squatting might just have horrible hip internal rotation. then you see them squat, and you're like, oh, let me just fix this. And then suddenly the person can express their strength. And you'll know because you can squat 135, but your leg press is 1,000 pounds. And it's like, well, why are my legs so strong in a leg press, but I can't move it with a squat? Well, because you can't express the strength. It has nothing to do with the person's leg strength. And has anybody on this call felt like that? Like they have so much strength with doing one thing, but you get them into like a free motion, like a squat bench dead. And it feels like you're like, again, a car on ice. You're spinning your wheels and it feels like you can't push that strength out. Anybody like have that feeling like that on the call? Yeah, right. I did too for the longest time. My back squat was the thing. And you know what? I can admit it right now. I blamed it on my femur length, just like a lot of, muscle heads. You blame it on your femur length and then you don't let yourself look for answers. And then, everybody has different leverages. And yeah, there are leverages that can definitely put you in categories of muscle. I don't want to say dominancies, but places where you'll be advantaged to use certain muscles. And maybe you might have to venture outside of comfort zones to learn other ones, right? And so for me, I was like, well, this is a blessing that I have this instead. I just got to learn how to use it. And so when we're looking at skill acquisition, it's like, how do I learn how to be stable and express joint function, health, strength in the positions I need to in this motion, right? So in this case, my client was a front squat. And then when we're talking about moving it to output just means simply like, imagine that you're like a magician and I don't know why, but your biggest dream is to go to children's parties and play magician tricks, right? And so skill acquisition is you're practicing the card game in your bedroom. Output is you're finally ready for the gig, right? And you can go to the gig and you can perform the trick and the kids don't see that you have the balloon in your pocket the whole time, right? So that's output. So meaning now we take this front squat and I can trust that my client can do them, no pain. Movement looks the same on every single rep and he can go to failure. Okay. The second that we can get a client to do that, and when I say failure, I don't mean like arms explode, blood everywhere. I mean the person can do it competently within 1 to 2 reps in reserve with no change in form whatsoever. Okay. And then now we can rely on that movement for results, right? So there was something cool that David said. What was that? Can you do me a favor, David? Just re-summarize your point there. You had said something really specific that I wanted to kind of revisit on about when you're in the army.
Well, I haven't been there,
Sorry.
like I have. Met many friends. Is that kind of going back of what you said? So it doesn't like you can be tall, short, like everyone's different. But if there's something that at least all these guys, which I can admire, have in common, is that they realize you have some good days, some bad days. You just
What
need
was
to
it?
make sure
Yeah.
that you set out to do as good as you can do. If you were sitting for 12 hours today because you were putting out a document and your back is stiff and you lost some range of motion on the, I don't know, on the squat, then that's fine. So long, like you decide to warm up and you work within what you can do. But you still went out there and like you hit it. Like you did the goal, you went there and you did your workout.
That was it, man. So there was actually a study and an article that I read about failure in muscles, and it was a pretty long one. So I'm not going to bore you guys with trying to find it because it took me a long time to read it. But what it talked about, excuse me, was that even when people are working to failure, they're probably not working to failure, meaning that there's always some more. The human body is incredibly resilient. We know this, right? But there's always more. And the article basically alluded to, no matter how hard you think you're working, you probably actually in reality have five more. So I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with guys like Eddie Hall, or if you know Dorian Yates, or some weird guy named Ben Pekulski, anything like that. But if we know these guys, they talk a lot about failure, right? So failure being like something that we need to get our muscles to in order to make sure we are producing some kind of hypertrophy effect. So often this term failure is over glamorized in the sense that we have to achieve failure. But failure is a spectrum. I'm not a big fan of the word spectrum in the sense that it makes people think that they can achieve it mentally or physically, or it's something that they can bring an emotion to. But what I mean by that word is that it kind of go back on your point. David, you're going to have different days. You're going to have a different life. You're going to have one day where that baked potato is still sitting in your stomach and it didn't digest quite right. You're going to have a day where maybe you fought with your wife. You're going to have a day where maybe you didn't sleep so much. And so failure becomes a spectrum because should the moons align, maybe you would have hit one more, maybe, right? But again, what this study was trying to show is that even on those days, you probably still could have hit five more. So what's the thing that's stopping you, right? And it really has to do with training age, so how long you've been training, right? And then motor units, so meaning like the plugs that are fastened into your muscles from your nervous system that actually let you contract, right? And if you can do that to a higher degree of efficiency, which is, you know, we bring in guys like Lu Zhaojun, who can snatch 420 pounds at the raw weight of 138 as a Chinaman. It's like, okay, that would be a good example of motor units, right? But the thing is that, like, we don't all like that. So then what is failure? And again, failure is just the art of asking yourself, can I do one more? Right. And then once we have the other variables that precede failure, like skill acquisition and the correct exercises that are there specifically to elicit a certain response in place, and that's our job, let us do that. Right. Then your job is just to go into that workout and say, can I do one more? Can I do one more? Right. The reason I think this is a really good point, and I'm glad that David brought that up as a catalyst to this kind of topic, this conversation, is because one of our clients at the meeting, when we were all doing our takeaways from the weekend, sorry, he said, and I love this, he said that he's not going to look at True Coach like a checklist anymore. And I was like, thank you. That's awesome. That was one of the coolest things that I could hear somebody say, because I often talk to my clients about how there's a difference between working out and training. Okay. Training, working out, not the same thing. Working out, it's fitness oriented. It's go in there, get a pump, get a sweat on, hit your reps, your sets, walk out. Yeah, feel good. I've got my workout in today. Cool. But it's incredibly unspecific. It's cr incredibly feeling and emotion centered. I think you'd agree with that, Andrew. Like, if you're just in it for fitness, you're kind of just there for like, well, what's a good workout to you? And it's like, well, I just want to feel sweaty. And sometimes, like, if that's your thing, like, all power to you. But everything that working out, fitness is not like working out, sorry, fitness, training is not like training is very specific, as in, like, what is the goal? What are we trying to do here? And often people who have a hard time defining specificity, I find have a hard time getting the results, because results have to be aligned with the goal. Like, as an example, I'm sure that people on this client on this call right now can nod their head yes if this has been them in the past. Anybody who's been overweight in the past, anybody who's pursuing weight loss goals, but wants the double-edged sword of I want weight loss and I want muscle building at the same time. Your coach tells you to eat more. How does it feel to hear those words? It's like, ooh, I don't want to do that, right? Well, guess what? Muscle's best built when you're in a surplus. You're like, ooh, I don't want to do that, right? So then what happens is now we're facing this fork in the road, where we have to kind of trust the process rather than trusting our feelings. And that's called training, right? Training is like, I'm here for a result. I'm going to do the things that are necessary for the result. I'm not going to let the emotion come into it, right? Training is being specific. It's being progressive. It's going into that workout and not trying to chase necessarily a feeling, because sometimes the feeling isn't there. There's been many times I've had clients tell me that they cannot feel contractions necessarily. And I'm like, you shouldn't be feeling a contraction there. It's a length and range of motion. You shouldn't really be feeling it. As an example, everybody put your arm back here if you can. Put your arm back here and try to flex your bicep. I bet you're not going to feel anything. Try to do it. Can anybody feel their bicep? Probably feels like crap, right? Crappy contraction. Well, guess what? This is a lengthened bicep. You're going to get great growth here. Okay. You're not going to feel anything though. Put your arm over here. Flex your bicep. Feels awesome, right? If I just walk around flexing my arm like this all day, is my arm going to grow? No, but I can feel it. So I can use that then to say, hey guys, it's growing. I can feel it. See how silly that is? But it's a good stepping stone towards developing. And I hate using this phrase, the whole mind muscle connection, because I think it's overthrown, it's blown up. But it's a good conversation because it helps people get in tune with their body so they can be more intentional. Intentionality is key, right? But this whole thought about trying to get training as something we do rather than just working out can take you leagues, because bringing it back to that client that I was mentioning from the camp, who said he's no longer to look at the True Coach workouts as a checklist. Sometimes, often people look at things like a checklist. And that checklist just becomes like, coach wants me to do squats into lunges, into leg extensions, into leg press. And it says, bop, 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 I'm done, right? And then you're like, you just got it done. Like, and then you have questions. We have questions where you're like, well, did you warm up? Oh, well, you said 3 sets of 10. So I just did 3 sets of 10. And then you look at the weight, and every single set is a different weight. And it's like every single set was a different weight. And every single set had the exact same amount of reps. Did you even do one working set at all? Is it just you just grabbed different weights and just did 10 and you just got out of there because you just treated it like a checklist? You're like, well, I thought this is what you wanted me to do. It's like, okay, so this is a time when you ask your coach, what does this mean? Because they're guidelines. If anybody gets to like a working set, like if we give you like 3 by 8 to 12 as an example, how we would treat this not like a checklist, but instead like an experience or a chance for you to express your function and that motion and your muscular contractions is like try to grab a weight definitely that might suit that rep range or that rep target. Then if you get there and it's way off, like let's just say you're doing walk-in lunges, your coach wants you to do 20 reps, and you get there and you're like, ah, that was easy. Doesn't count. It's a warm-up. And then what you do is you grab heavier weight and then you try it again. And let's just say it's closer. It doesn't count. It's still a warm-up. And then what you do is you grab heavier weight. And let's just say you're close. You're like, okay, this is better. Then when you get there, you don't stop. You do one more. And then you ask yourself, can I do one more? And then you try. And then you keep on trying. Can I do one more? Right? You use that question. That question is only answered by your muscles. Can I do one more? You have to answer it to your muscles. Because if you answer it with your brain, what failed? Your muscles or your brain? Right? And we know this because like the people who actually build this is bodybuilding, this is hypertrophy, because muscles, they don't know numbers. They can't count. This is a Chris Fudge saying. Muscles can't count. They know tension, right? And that then they know fatigue. So if we can drive them to that point where like we call the question to them, can I do one more? Go into the motion. In a lunge as an example, the only way you're gonna know is if you're staying on that floor, right? It's like, okay. But then we also talk, Andrew brought up the whole bottleneck or the low-hanging fruit. Great example here is when you're at the bottom of the lunge, sometimes you might not actually get up, but it might not be because your quads aren't working. It might be instead because your lungs are going to explode. Like you feel like, oh, who's done that at the end of the set of long lunges? And you just feel like your cardio is just like, oh my God, I can't keep up with this. I know I have 100%. And so then what do I do? I'm like, I need to work on that. That's actually my linchpin here. It's not my quads. It might be, but I need to get it there first, right? Does that make sense, guys? Do you have any questions on that?
No, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Do you guys feel like that's something that you can do, or they're about actually be harder to do than it would be to talk about?
Well, now that you explain like that way about treating, like, I mean, I guess it has been said many times, but this thing of treating each set as a warm up, so long I can do one more, like that's really actionable. I like it that way.
Love it. Love it. And to be honest with you, man, like that's one of the best ways that you can build muscle, because if you're doing things that are just like what your muscle can do, that's just working out. And then again, there's value in that. I don't want to steer anybody away from doing something that's good for them. It's no different than if you guys are online a lot, if you ever followed me, which I would be awesome if you did, just because I like to talk about a lot of things that hopefully benefit the clients. And I'll post my opinions on exercises. And one I'm always harping on is like the glute thrust. There's benefit on the glute thrust. Andrew, there is. Like if you're jujitsu, you got to know how to lock your hips out. Like that's going to be very, very crucial to do that. Miles is doing that already. I love it because he just throws the kids off. It's hilarious. But it's like you do need to do that. It's a functional motion. Like teaching hip extension is functional. The problem is, like, what did I just say with the bicep? Lengthened positions are going to be very hypertrophy inducing. The hip thrust is a shortened position. It's probably not going to do very much for hypertrophy. You're probably going to do better in something like a step up, a reverse lunge, an RDL, a single leg dead or a single leg deadlift, or a single leg press. Different conversation. But the point is that like when we're doing these kind of motions, there should be some kind of intention, right? And so when we're doing like programming and trying to get into the nuance of training versus working out, I don't want to steer somebody else away saying like, if you can't do this, you shouldn't do this. No. Still go in there, have fun. Your job isn't to give 100 million% every single session. It's, if you got 20% today, you give me 20. But the point is that if we want to try to take training to the next level, and this kind of circling back to the original topic on like, how do I do this without my coach there? How do I give that 100%? How do I go to that fifth gear without somebody yelling in my ear? Well, you don't have to. What you have to do though is just have a system in place that lets you progress so that you can look at things objectively and say, I did my lunges last week with the 27.5 pound weights. I made 32 reps in my last set. I am going to beat that somehow. I'm either going to do 33 damn reps or I'm going to do 30 pounds instead of 27 pounds. Does that make sense, guys? Something is going to increase. You're either going to increase volume and duration, or load. Okay. Any questions, guys? Feeling pretty good
Dom
with this?
Dom put a statement in the chat. If you want to elaborate on that, Dom.
Yeah, please, Dom.
Yeah. So when I started with Coach Gavin and myself early on, I didn't look at weight sets as a checklist. I was like, okay, what is my purpose and what is my goal to these reps and that stuff, and choosing what is a good weight for a rep. And he was explaining to me, it's like your aim is to get all the reps, all the sets. But if you don't make it, then that's the weight you stay on and that stuff. And then once you complete that set of reps completely, then you bump up the weight and that stuff. I learned that early on and that stuff. And so I think at the beginning was trying to select the weights, kept moving like 20 pounds up until I found a weight that I was challenged. So, yeah.
Yeah, Dom, are you familiar, Dom? Like, do you guys know, do you feel like you could, if there is a word that you could summarize hypertrophy with and how that mechanism is achieved, do you guys know what that word would be? For me, it would be like, it'd be probably stimulus. Is there another word that you'd use, Andrew?
My mind kind of immediately goes to whatever your bias is. So if you're typically the person that doesn't like rest periods, that lifts a little bit lighter, I would say for that person, it would be heavy or for.
Yeah. So, but yeah. Then I guess, so therefore stimulus, right?
Yeah.
Russell, it's, I'm going to put it in the chat here. It's at Steve Logics. Hold on a second.
Steve's always doing snatches in the snow up in Canada.
You know what's funny? What the Instagram algorithm is adorable sometimes. And so like you'll be just scrolling. And one time I was looking up snatches, and of course it attracts me some kind of like Russian weightlifting page in which there's like a person doing like a snatch in the snow. He's on this like plyboard, and then his friend comes out of a sauna in the snow and wrestles a bear. And then in the background, there's another bear bouncing on a tree. And I'm like, what am I witnessing? And they were real bears. It was like, what is going on? And the whole time, this guy's practicing snatches in front of this. And he was like in a wool hat with just big underwear on. This is the most amazing they've seen. But yeah, I'm always trying to like just shed some light on this kind of stuff, because I think it helps people. But yeah, it's really cool stuff, guys. So I think that this could be a really good eye-opening experience for people, because people know the answer. Often there was, I was finishing up this course last week just for some CECs on my own PT certification. And it's funny because I was talking to one of my clients, and she's actually a registered dietitian herself. And so she turns to me, she goes, Steve, you know what the answer is for the test, right? And I'm like, yeah, but I just got to do the work. I can't just do the test because there's no test. And she goes, it's whole foods. And I'm like, well, of course it's whole foods. Meaning like when you look into like something, we all know the answer. And this was a course on food. And the answer is always just don't eat crap. We all know that. Don't eat crap, right? Don't eat chicken wings. Don't do that. It's bad. Slap on the wrist. It's better if you eat whole foods. We know the answer. Same thing with when it comes to building muscle. We know the answer. The answer isn't to do something that's easy. It's do the hard reps. It's always been that. We know that. So the art isn't in that. It's in the execution and the integration. So how do we bring that in so that we can actually make sure that you guys have something that you can actually apply in the sessions, right? That's why I think simply, first of all, understanding the intention behind what we're doing, right? Meaning like why we write the reps. And once that's understood, that can I do one more is incredibly powerful. Because if you start just asking yourself, rather than listening and obeying, that's what I like to do. She's sleeping. Sorry. Once you start obeying the muscles and what they're doing, and as a byproduct, the burning, then we start getting distracted, right? Who's sat in a leg extension? Obviously, every single person in this call is sat in a leg extension. Has it ever fun? Has it ever been fun? Never. It's always gonna burn. Like the burning is the job of the muscle. You guys realize that, right? Like it's never not gonna burn. It always will. If it ever doesn't burn, you're not working hard enough. That's just the case, okay? It's like getting mad at a muscle for burning. I told it to Ben once. It's like getting mad at an engine for getting loud when you rev it up. It's like it's what it will do. It will get loud, okay? So when you work a muscle, it's gonna burn. It's gonna suck. So it's instead of or internalizing it and being like, oh, well, I can't do this. It's like, no, just look at your quads and be like, oh, there you are, you bastards. Time to go anyways, right? And just keep on repping. Just smile. Recognize that it's like a process happening, and you can either let it control you and therefore the set, or you can be like, there you are. I'm gonna go anyways, right? And it can actually be kind of a different experience, and you'll just laugh about it. But yeah, so is there any? I don't want to. Obviously, we have 8 minutes left. I wanted to kind of open the floor. If you have any questions about anything that I've been talking about, love to hear them, guys. Especially some guys that have been off. Jody, I know you were here, buddy. I know that you dropped a comment in the Costa Rica camp about how you actually yourself felt that you found a fifth gear. I'd love to hear your impressions on that, if you have the time, buddy.
Yeah, sure. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you, man.
Okay, excellent. Because I am driving home. No. Well, first of all, definitely, I really would like to recommend you the camp in case that you have the opportunity to join me in the future. It was an amazing opportunity. In my case, it was a big game changer because, first of all, it was great to receive the feedback and make some last adjustments in my technique that really helped me a lot to, first of all, activate the full range of motion for all the muscles. The breath work, we did some breath works and some muscle activation techniques that really helped me a lot to do the work in the gym. And I really felt a huge difference. And during the camp, I was able to implement those techniques. And it was great because I was working harder than ever before. And also, yeah, actually, yesterday was my first training session after the camp because I took Monday as rest day, and I was able to apply the techniques. And I felt completely different. I was
Yeah.
able to increase all my weights by at least 10% in only the exercise and working properly, because it really make a difference to hear the feedback firsthand, and also the coaches actually touching you and making some adjustments in your techniques that really helped me a lot. For example, my squat, I was not using my pelvic floor and my diaphragm when I was squatting. When we received explanation from Ben and from the other coaches, really helped me to understand better what should I do to increase my squat. And during the camp, I was able to beat my personal record on squatting, and I did it yesterday. So it was great. It was great, and I am really looking forward for the next opportunity.
Yeah, buddy, you better be there the next one. It was awesome. It's a pleasure to meet you, too, man. Jody's for you guys who haven't seen Jody, he's a tank. So to hear that he got progress and felt value from this, it was amazing. Such a cool experience. A lot of guys were, man. A lot of guys were. It was such a cool thing. There was we got some feedback from a man named Jacques. He's a Cairo, and he did like an online review, and he just was blown away himself. And he just did some crazy things. He felt like his chest for the first time in a long time, which is really cool. Warren, question for you. The best whole foods other. So this is where the funny things happen, right? So Warren, it's a loaded question in the sense that when it comes down to whole foods, the conversation, just give you context, it was about like this again, the course I was taking, and it was just to finish out some credits, right? And so I had to go through the curriculum. But the point was that when people are talking about integrating quality foods, it's always been just as long as you're eating good food, your body responds well, right? That's why you hear a lot of people talking about carnivore, paleo, Mediterranean, all these different diets, and they all have their own benefits and values. But the first thing you'll hear is always everybody when they institute a hard, strict diet is, I feel so much better. Well, no wonder you do. You got rid of all the Oreos. right? If you get rid of all the crap, your body tends to respond pretty damn well. So when we're looking at like which are the best whole foods, like it's kind of a loaded question because there can be some things that are obviously predetermined by your gut microbes. So some people might not have a healthy gut that might be limiting them from the digestion, sorry. So if you've been eating primarily plant-based as an example, then you go to meat, you might take a little while for your body to kind of be okay with it. So just start out small, add smaller portions, right? And also vice versa. A lot of guys who do like strict carnivore, when they go back into greens, they start like having loose stool. And the reason why is because their gut microbiome is not, it's not cultured enough, so to speak. Maybe that's not the right word, but yeah, it's not just diverse. I have a better word for you, enough for the greens. And so like, I think it's actually a me thing. When I did carnivore just to try it out as an experiment, you know, I wanted to see what it felt like. But a year and a half ago, and it was great. Energy was high, crazy. I didn't really feel too much else, but just energy was high just because you don't have any carbs, which is kind of ironic because a lot of people who come into the program say they need carbs for energy. And usually that's a sign of, you know, other things, which Ben talks about often. So definitely listen up for the calls in the future. But what I found from it was that when I came back off carnivore, I'm not sure if you've ever done that, Andrew, but when I had greens again, my body was like, you hate greens. You don't want greens now, because it's almost like my gut was just, it was tuned in for meat. And that's what I hear Chris often talk about now too, is he gets like just, you know, bloating and stuff like that. But the question is, what I often, it's the whole teach man to fish philosophy. I often instruct and, you know, encourage my clients to kind of think about is instead become really, really introspectively aware of the signs of inflammation. And if you can tune your body and your mind to understand what those signs are, bloating, for me, I actually will get like puffy knuckles. I'm not sure if anybody else gets that as well when they have like inflammation. If you have any nagging injuries that might be chronic for less or worse, like for me, if I have like popcorn, sounds silly, if I have popcorn in a movie theater, my right knee starts hurting every single time. If I don't have the popcorn, my knee's fine, no pain. And so it's kind of funny, right? And so it's not necessarily the corn, it might be. I know it's the glyphosate, it's the crap they spray on it, but that's a sign of inflammation. Gas is a sign of inflammation. If you're farting a lot, you're probably not absorbing things properly, right? And then on top of that too, like if you actually, it's kind of a gross little crude part of it, but if you, you know, stool is definitely one of them too, like loose stool, it shouldn't be like that. There's other things as well. And if you ever get a chance, what is it? Are they the last call or the second last call of the month where where Greg holds a call? Which one is it, Andrew?
Richard, did he say the second week of each month?
Second week?
I feel like that's what I remember him saying, but.
Yeah,
if you never know with the different time zones, but I'm pretty sure he said second week.
But if you guys get a chance and you haven't already, listen to Greg talk, because he's a savant with this kind of stuff, man. He's absolutely genius with his nutritional knowledge, and he'll forget to wear his pants because he doesn't have any brain room left. There's nothing. He's just like, I'm so smart here, but I forgot life. So it's pretty awesome though. But yeah, and so it's kind of a loaded question, right? But what I would say is instead just pay attention to how your body feels and then just start slowly adding things in, and then just remove anything that, you know, is processed, heavily processed. That helps. Run, Forrest, run. Okay, guys, it's that time. If any other questions, please speak up. Otherwise, thank you for letting me rant about this. It was an exciting weekend. I hope that you guys all get a chance to experience it. Keep your eyes out on like the Facebook page and on Ben's Instagram, because I'm sure you'll see content come out here and there about the camp. It was a great time. Andrew, you buddy, you got to get there next time.
Yeah, I know, brother. Just timing and everything else this time around. So
tell me next one. Yeah, families will come. We'll have to just bring them.
I do have one question.
I'll bring a bus.
Go for it, Dominic.
Yeah. So I think mentally sometimes I'm like in automation mood, and I wonder if there's any ways I could stack myself up when I'm in that mood. And so any podcasts or.
So let me get the question. So you feel like you're just not like, you're not ramped up enough, or.
It's just like, sometimes like my brain goes on autopilot and I'm just like going along the day with it. It's like even just like today when I had an interview for a new position, I felt like I was not prepared mentally and that stuff. And so, yeah.
Is there too much or not enough going on up there?
It's like it's not enough, and that stuff
Not
is
enough.
it's like my sometimes my brain just going dead, so it's just like zone out and it's an autopilot just to register anything going on and that
You
stuff.
know, I would definitely, just because if it's about like supplementation, it could be beneficial to talk to somebody like Greg about that, because he always has the coolest insights with this kind of stuff. But honestly, it sounds something to me like even just something silly like caffeine might help, man. Like, people don't talk about caffeine outside of the realm of performance, but like, we use it for a reason, right? Like, why do you think every single PT in existence is addicted to caffeine? Because we have to have high energy and high focus for our clients for 10 hours straight.
Okay.
If that's an answer. Otherwise, what I would say,
yeah.
Go ahead, sorry.
That's gonna be a problem because I have ADHD and mania. So that's gonna
Yeah, so I would definitely lean on Greg. Do me a favor, are you in the Telegram group?
Yeah. I messaged him a couple of times. That's the
problem. Did you bring that exact question up to him?
No. This is just recent right now and that stuff. I'll
can
bring
you
it.
Pop that question in there, man?
In the group.
Yeah, in the Telegram group, and just tag Greg, because I'm sure that he would have a great insight for it.
Okay, thanks.
Okay.
Right.
Dom, the only other thing I'd add real quick is you could do cyclical hyperventilation where you're doing some fast inhales for a period of time, and do that. Some of it like be considered Wim Hof, but doing roughly like 20 fast inhales through your nose, like forceful exhale through your mouth. Do that for 20 to 25. Breath cycles, fully exhale, hold it, and hold it for as long as you can, and then inhale, and you'll be more alert in that moment. Like, if you need something in the moment to kind of perk you up, there's been moments where it's not the most ideal scenario with my work schedule, calls backed up, whatever else, and if I have less than 5 minutes to myself, that's something that I'll do if I can't get up and go somewhere.
All right, I'll try that. Thanks.
David, what's up?
Okay, just as Coach Andrew was saying, I found out that after really intense exercise, like you start hyperventilating, at least for me, when I am, like if I'm in the zone, I am so tired, I don't have, like I'm in the moment, I don't have time to think about the bills, about studying or whatnot. Like, it gives me like this kind of focus, and also, at least for me, music. Like, search for some music that you really, really like gets you pumped, and have a specific playlist for those days. Like, most of the days I have music, but I have like a specific playlist, which is I don't want to do nothing music. And like, I feel that those, like that playlist gives me that edge to focus and get my training done properly.
It's funny you say that, because I think it was Ben talking to Ben. There was one of the guys in the camp this weekend talking about how they listen to classical just because of focus. Yeah. Often that's what I'm not classical, but I'll just listen to music that is like, it's not rock. That's for sure. It's like whatever is calming in I'll just listen to that because I want to focus. Like, and then the metal comes on. I'm like, no, I can't have that. My brain feels like it's going to explode. But yeah. Anyways, guys, I should be respectful of your time. As Ben always says, have a great night. Yeah, and definitely looking forward to seeing you hopefully at next year's Muscle Camp and next week on the call as well. Guys, thanks for doing it. Hopefully I gave you some value.
Have a good day.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye, guys.